You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold.
Holy.
Don't you know you
come
are
holy. We are back and ready to rollie. Guys, thank you so much for popping your champagne with us today on My Sexy Podcast. We have been away for a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I like that you've got, like, kind of, like, you're vocalizing, but you know that you shouldn't say too much because you haven't been introduced yet. Oh, yeah. Guys, let's just get right to it. Who's in the studio today? Well, you might have read the title, or you might have closed your eyes the way I recommend doing it and just wait for me to introduce her. She's been on Comedy Central's Inside Amy Schumer. She's got an awesome YouTube channel. It's very popular. It's called Beth in Show. And she's got a show here in New York City every single Wednesday at 8 p.m. Put your hands together for the fucking incredible Beth Hoyt!
Wow.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes.
Boom.
I need to get a longer sound effect for this. Oh, yeah. There we go. That's the one.
Cartoon tumble down?
Now, cartoon tumble down
is
the new applause break.
Yeah.
I've had some... let me just tilt this so I can look at you. And now we're staring into each other's eyes.
Okay,
let me tell you one amazing thing about Beth. Mm. She showed up with a fucking bottle of wine.
That's how I do it. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. Made sure it was a screw cap.
Yeah.
I only buy screw caps now because you just never know when you're going to be like at the movies or at the park.
For the audience who's not well-versed, screw cap is when you can actually just and then screw it off.
Yeah.
There's no, we're not pretending anymore that cork is better for the wine.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't need the tool. And also, I think they're running, there's no more cork in the world, right?
I have known the, are they running out of
years? I don't know if it's real or not. I'm just realizing now that I've been saying that. I'm pretty sure it's
there's no more cork in the world.
Like a lot of wine places have them. This is all totally
I feel like you've got a stock. Secretly you've bought stocks and screw caps or something.
But I think, okay, that there's no screw
cap. I think is the best way to start.
So now they're making screw caps. Like, it's just as good. This is fine quality wine. I'm making very expensive wine with screw cap, which is... I don't care. I'm not going to get that wine, but...
I just looked up cork facts on YouTube, so...
Yeah.
Let's see if this...
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man, this is really intense. Cork facts.
I didn't mean to take us here, guys.
I mean, this is a really harsh reality. Well, it looks like they're just putting a lot of words on page. 30% of Cork's population, Black Death, Cork City, Island.
This sounds scary.
The Ellis and Shandon.
I don't know why J.J. Abrams isn't jumping on this.
I think that we've looked up a different kind of cork. But seriously, if you do look up cork facts on YouTube, please tell me, tweet at me and let me know what they're...
The website or was
some
that just
cool
here?
Facts about Cork, the real capital. Okay, so this is Cork in Ireland.
You have the internet right in front of you.
I have the internet.
It's Ireland, right? But then you paused and then I questioned everything.
Oh my God.
I didn't know I was going to be quizzed on geography is my worst.
We were talking about geography right before the mics lit up, which I don't usually like to talk to the guests before the mic gets on.
Are.
So then all the good stuff's out and then the mic's on and we're like, traffic was crazy today.
Yeah.
But we were talking about moving to LA and how you feel about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to it. It's not I just want to go when it's for a job. And
you
for
said you've
a reason.
Been there a bunch, though. That means someone said,
it's
Beth,
good.
Get over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, my agent's there. And so it's always like, he's like, I have tons of stuff for you if you're here, which is nice to
and
say.
Then you, and so then you go, and then there are tons of stuff?
Then I audition for those things. I mean, he's like, I have tons of auditions.
It's that's actually true when you get there.
Yeah.
It seems like everyone in LA is so busy with auditions.
I know, really. You just got to get one, hopefully, to keep tugging you along till the next one to justify it all.
Do you book commercials, though?
I booked a few.
Yeah, you got that good face.
I'm in this one. Yeah, I've
got
this good mom face.
Is it a mom face?
It's like it's what the commercials want for mom faces. They don't want real moms.
What did you play on Amy Schumer's show? What did you play?
Not a mom.
Friend.
I played, a chick.
Yeah, a chick.
Two different chicks.
Totally believable as a chick.
Thank you.
Didn't think you had a kid at all.
Yeah, I don't.
Isn't it crazy when you audition for a mom part?
I've done it so much now. It's really crazy to audition.
I had my first one when I was like 19 years old. I was like, for real? I wear like a sideways hat.
Yeah, you look like a girl. Like a girl.
Oh, thank you.
I mean that in the
airport
best way.
Airport security would not agree.
I
get a lot of sirs at the airport.
But I mean like not as opposed to a woman. You got a
woman,
You could really. I've
I guess
been
you look
30
kind of like
since
a woman.
I was 15. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've okay, gotcha. Had this face.
You could always be like a
always very safe looking.
Safe
like
looking.
A, yeah. Like she's got a kid at home, but like interesting.
Are you a safe? Are you a safe person?
I think so.
You are the way you read. You are so. What you get. There's no secret. There's no.
Oh, I'm sure there's some. Come on, there's some secrets. Are you, but I'm pretty
you're
much.
You're pretty much a nice lady.
I'm pretty much a nice. Well, hey,
girl.
Yeah,
mom.
Thank you.
Nice girl, mom, lady.
I actually went to commercial audition where I had to sign in, and it was
lady
was
one, does sound like a ugh, shitty thing to say to someone, really? Lady, woman, because we all feel like girls. Yeah. I bet even like you know, my mom feels like a my mom's probably a lady.
Yeah. No one.
I've been
wants
talking
to be a
about
lady.
Age a bunch, and when I say talk, you know, I mean on stage and that open mic circuit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Why waste words?
Actually,
otherwise.
Maybe I should play this in the background because it kind of goes with. I've been talking about how, why are we putting pressure on ourselves to feel like we've got to say our age is young? Like, people that are ashamed of saying their age. What is going on with that?
I know.
Why? I get what's going on with it. We need these competitive, like, aspects of life because it sells creams and it makes, and if, like.
Also, there's this thing where it's so cool if you are doing something well when you're in your early 20s.
Exactly.
Like
that's what
cool
it is.
How cool is Lena Dunham that she's, and like that they're doing it, they're young and people. I was next to a guy in a plane recently who chose to talk to me. I'm trying to be a very clear with my body language that like I'm not into chatting on flights.
I would crack you.
But recently.
You would sit down with your friendly old face.
I try not to look. I try to keep that hidden though. But this guy recently started talking to me. The first thing he said was, I'm 19 and I started my own business. And I was like, I get it.
What
done.
A fucking
yeah.
joker.
Bye.
But so here's the thing. Like, that's embarrassing, actually. Like, it's, yeah, that's impressive if you were to stumble upon that information. But that's something that, like, getting, oh, my mom's texting me right now saying, are you calling? We'll call in 20. My mom is like, we started this podcast. She was just a green little wide-eyed.
She's... Is she good
potential starlet, and now she's like, now she's like, I think maybe I'll need an agent if they post to TV.
I can't do it past 6.
So yeah, that's what you get with age is a little bit of self awareness to where maybe in 10 years, hopefully this kid's going to be, you know, 30 and not blurt that out.
Right,
and that's something to be proud of about age. I get it that like,
you know,
I think the thin versus fat thing, I get that. It sucks. Well, like when people are like. Put the emphasis on being thinner mm-hmm. and younger. Mm-hmm. The thin thing is like, oh yeah, thin people win. We can all like, you know, we can all be thin if we try hard. I mean, I'm air quotationing it. But so at least there's like thin people are like, yeah, fucking fatties. But with age, we're all getting older. There's no bluffing.
Right.
We are getting older.
Yeah.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah.
You will get older.
I'm not. I'm surprisingly not. Like, I've actually forgotten my age. I really forgot if I had turned a year older than I was the year before. I'm just making your point and not saying what age I am, but
I know.
I think
well,
I've
that's
officially
the thing.
Remained
I'm 29,
27 forever.
I'm going to be 30, 29? Then I'm going to be 31 and 32. I think also I've always dated older women. So, like, my wife is in her late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
She's 34.
She doesn't
but,
look
like,
it. She doesn't look it.
But, like, I think because of that, I haven't.
That's good. That's good pressure off. I love turning 30 because I feel like my late 20s are so much pressured because it's like, you got to do your cool stuff.
Well,
and then I turned 30 and I was like, I can
thing.
Finally be the age I was always supposed to be.
Yeah, but the nugget of the truth in it is probably to the first point you made, which was the pressure to do things by a certain time.
Yeah, I recently saw, I really love Jessica Williams. I think she's so good and funny and good on the show.
Yeah.
I just read the one on her Twitter bio. And this is just to make the point that she says like Daily Show correspondent, 24 years old. That's like her on her bio. And it's like, I wish I had put that in my bio when I was first joined and then been like, ooh, I forgot to change it all these years. Like, cause I haven't really changed my, that's a smart move actually to do that right away so that you can be like, I just haven't updated
well,
that.
So,
but does she, is she going to change it?
Table.
Is she going to keep doing
yeah,
it when she's 26 and 27?
When I was young, so I started doing stand-up when I was 16, and I remember saying to my mom when I was like 17, 18, oh, I think I'll get, I think I'll probably have issues with age because I, like when I was young and I got a lot of opportunity really fast, and I was like, yeah, because I've got all this stuff going on, I'm like 18 years old, and she was like, oh, well, then you will. And I was like, what? And she and like, are you going to teach me a lesson?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I will.
Oh, my God.
I'm fucking Ursula Fry. I will.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, yeah, like if you anticipate that you're going to have a tough time getting older, then you for sure will have a tough time because you're already building that up. But oh if you gosh, just see it for what it is.
Did you, how'd you take that?
I think I took it as like that sometimes, that's why I have my mom at the end of this podcast on. She's so like sterile and like factual and pragmatic and practical that sometimes, to be honest, in our relationship, I'm like, but can you hug me?
Yeah.
You know, like I remember like when I was younger, I would complain to her about something small and she'd be like, well, thousands of women are getting raped in Africa. They're being forced into sex. And sometimes they're cutting their vaginas. So, you know,
I don't mean, I'm not
your shitty
at that.
Score on your test is not very important.
Did you, did that resonate with you when you were a kid? Or was
yeah,
it like, mom?
That's probably why I'm gay.
Mm. yeah, that's it right there.
Nature, nurture. That was the nurture.
My mom is the opposite. My mom's like, well, have you told the people, you know, what you did in college, that play you were in? They should know about. Like, she just yeah. really believes in me and is really short-sighted about...
That's yeah. Shauna's mom. My wife's mom is like that. She's like very, she gets really excited about stuff, which is like surprising because my mom really, I did a TED talk last week,
yeah,
which
cool.
was so.
Snaps.
I did a TED talk last week. And then when as I was walking up to my mom, I had this playing in my head and I was like, here we fucking go. Parents, parents who've been seeing me talk about my pussy in basements for the greater part of my life. It's time. To get a response from this TED Talk. And my mom's response was, that was good. And then she made me sign this like tax paper, like right away. She was like, this came in the mail and you need to sign it before you leave the country.
Well, her heart was a flutter over it, I'm sure.
Not really. Inside. I mean, that's the thing. I think, but that's part of, you know, there's different things that make us who we are. I get that that's part of what makes my brother and I like, you know, strive to...
Yeah,
I mean, now we're back to achievements. Now we're back to me kind of like bragging about achievements while talking about how it's not important. That was how we got here.
You were simply stating.
I was simply stating I've achieved.
that much needed. A TED Talk is a big deal.
But how were you raised? Do you think your parents? So it sounds like your mom was like very happy about the things that you were doing, and that's what.
Yeah, ish. I mean, I never thought I would be. Pursuing this stuff. I just thought it was like a thing you did on the side. And then I auditioned for like a theater school to get into it for college, just like for fun.
Yeah.
And they didn't accept very many people. And I got in and it was just like, well, then I'm going to do it. That's,
yeah. It's amazing the little things that happen in your life that you like, that means so much to you in that formative time.
Yeah. But also you're 17. It's like, that's why I think you shouldn't go to school then and figure out what, like, go to the big schools. Then you should like go to community college for 2 years and then travel or work for 2 years and then figure out what you want to do and then spend that money. Cause now I wish I'd gone to college and like studied Russian or something.
Really?
Cause you can always then after that move to New York and take classes.
Translate things.
Who cares? Yeah. You just had that in your back pocket.
You want Russian in your back pocket?
Yeah. I really want to go there, but I know you got to, like really speak the language, and I really want to seem like
really?
An authentic
what
Russian.
Other than the homophobia is attracting you to Russia?
I've always been attracted to it. I just think I love everything
really?
About the corruption.
I mean,
vodka.
I'm not mad at Russia other than the stuff. Like, I mean, around
that
the Olympics,
stuff,
that like that was some
that's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty
that was
awful
a pretty bad
and
time.
Big and horrible. I don't like that. I really think that in my past life, I lived in Russia. I wanted like be in Russia in like the late 1800s and like. Be either a peasant or a very rich person. very interested in all
about?
Of that
either
stuff.
Either a peasant.
I don't care which one.
Here's what I'm
going to
say about
I like
peasants.
The extremes, I think.
Boo, peasants.
Oh, but what a fun, simple... You just like... You get to just do your job, which is pretty simple. Yeah. Listen, different opinions.
Wait,
different upbringings.
What would your ideal peasant job be?
I would like to like have a lady that I work for and I like dress her.
That's kind of homoerotic. I like that you didn't really have to think about it, and that is like a peasant role. So you would be the stylist.
Yeah.
But
well,
without the credit.
Even, I also don't make any decisions.
But, yeah,
I just
do
like the manual labor of putting the corset on.
You just like adjust the corset around her breast.
And like listen to her problems. But like I also think I'm very tiny.
Oh, okay, so you really would serve the purpose as, you'd be tiny in this story?
Like really tiny. Or really big. I see.
So really, if you, and you wouldn't, you would leave it up to the time traveling gods to be rich. You wouldn't. You wouldn't choose to be the woman that you.
More pressure to be the rich one. You know, you have to like. Then they have to be thin, like really thin, and I feel like there'd be so much more temptation.
Wasn't
with all
it
those
fatty back
and
then?
Stuff?
Wasn't it like get that bodacious body over here?
Not really for the women in Russia, I don't think. Again,
what do you? What book did you read?
Yeah, I think it's just basically based on Anna Karenina, maybe okay. Just that. Mm-hmm. Lots of heavy research. I did take a Russian literature class in college.
Some people have been writing and saying that I'm doing too many sound effects.
No.
And I think this was a moment where I caught myself in the sound effect cookie jar.
I think I needed it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was the classic Anna Karenina.
Is that her falling in the train tracks?
That was me never reading a lot of essential reading. Mm. And now I'm in the cookie jar of like, I've written book reports on it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Listen,
speaking of following the train tracks, guess what happened to me? Oh, yeah. Well, I thought of her.
Go back to Liza Dye's episode of this podcast to listen to.
So you talked to her about it?
Yeah. I think I had the exclusive podcast. I got a lot of hits on that podcast.
I haven't talked to her about it, but yesterday, the day before, was taking the 2 train, and I was so, nothing was really wrong. I was just like, had been carrying a heavy backpack all day long, was a little hot all day long, like overdressed. Maybe I was dehydrated, but I hadn't like eaten or drank too little that day.
Oh my God.
And I was in the subway from 42nd Street all the way back down to Brooklyn. And it's a lot of stops, and it was like jam packed from the very beginning. And people around me were just like breathing on me, and I was hating everybody, and it was like the worst.
Yeah.
And I had that moment where, you know, I felt like a little bit overheated and like, spots in my eyes like a little bit too hot and so I was just trying to breathe. The next thing I knew, I was on the ground in the platform station. I guess I'd fainted in there and I was leaning against the door, and then when the doors opened I fell out at Hoyt Street of all stops. I am not joking.
Beth's last name is Hoyt. What the fuck is going on?
And then all the people that I'd been hating were like helping me and stuff, so then I felt like this moment of like love for New York because
the Lord was teaching you to love.
But also it made me so scared because
imagine that was my real, the Lord is teaching you the apostle.
You're
the,
right. That was the Lord intervening.
Oh my God.
But that really made me think about her story. Like, what if that happened when I was waiting for the train?
So and now you know what's annoying about her story? So just to give the listener the background, if you didn't listen to Liza Dye's episode, Liza was standing waiting for the subway, hadn't eaten that morning. Lots of us have been in that position.
Yeah.
And fell into the tracks, fainted, like, and fell into the tracks. Then, like, all these news places were, some call them outlets, some call them places. I call them places. All these news places were like, they were basically like painting the picture of an irresponsible young person texting, and that's the danger of texting and walking, and let's make it a lesson. Which I guess that's the whole thing is, and she kind of firsthand discovered they need to slant it somehow, some way, right, and then make it a bigger thing, and that's what happened to her. But she just fainted, and she survived, and she has like her leg's a little wonky now, but she got to keep her leg.
Yeah,
and it was a crazy thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's gonna do a TED talk.
She should.
You know what the thing is about that though, and I knew her from before that happened, but whenever someone gets cast on like something really big or someone almost dies, I totally exaggerate my relationship with them. You know,
who else do you know who almost died?
Well, the almost died. Well, now my friend Katie's cousin has Ebola. He's like one of the he's the journalist with Ebola that is getting flown out of Liberia and into Nebraska. But he's going to be okay. I spoke to her. But now, you know, like I talked about it that day, like, oh, I can't do anything. My friend's got Ebola, you know, but like when Sashir got Saturday Night Live, like I didn't know her that well. But I mean, like I'm friends with her. Our friendship has developed.
Yeah. But, especially with people outside the industry, like my family in Wisconsin. Yeah. It's like, my best friend is on this show.
Yes. Everybody in the industry is your friend. Of course, like, you know, that's the way you talk to everybody who's, you're my friend,
right?
Yeah. And once you get that good juicy part, you best believe that my Facebook picture is gonna be you and I all of my Facebook profile pictures.
So that just made me so scared that could happen anytime. So now whenever I get like a little bit overheated on the train, I'm like, I have to sit down or I get off.
And this has only been 2 days that it's happened. It could happen in people's cars too.
Danger.
You know what
everywhere.
That sound effect means? It means we're going back to talking about LA. LA beat.
Do you want to move there?
I think I'd like to one day. I just want to go to where there's like sunshine is nice. So I think that everybody's perception, this is what we were talking about, people's perception of LA versus what is actually happening in LA. Okay, so what is actually happening in LA is that there are a lot of the big industry there. It's like if you went to, I don't know, wherever they tape The Office, in that office world, and the big industry's paper. Everyone has something to do with paper. And so there's a little something like lame, all these paper people.
Right.
But like it's what we do in LA, or what people do in LA, is they make movies and TV shows. And and there is something, obviously, there is a certain personality type that's attracted to that world that is not like the most down to earth, salt of the earth character.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's not say that like there are really cool people in this. And I mean, obviously, that's why you're in show business, is because there's like, you know, to me, when I think about the people that I know that have kind of made it, those people that I exaggerate my relationship with,
your best friends,
all my best friends, they have cool personalities. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a reason why with Broad City, Abby and Alana, like there's a reason why people want to watch it, to hang out with them. And so this is going maybe a little bit stretching because they don't live in LA, but like, maybe eventually they do have to live in LA. Not have to. They can do whatever they want because they built a brand. But like, I wouldn't mind living in LA. And I think that might be what ends up happening.
Yeah. Well, two things. One, there's also, there's the film stuff, but there's so much, now that's such a bigger world with all this tech stuff.
Yeah.
That there's like all that, I don't know, I'm into the YouTube world quite a bit. That's all there. And then so there's all these new smarty pantses that are there in addition to like the film people that are doing like this different kind of TV stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to make development through, I mean, everything. Every single website is trying to find like a way to make them some comedy content or something.
Yeah.
Who knows how they don't know how to find views and stuff. But the second thing is that LA is cool enough because so many New Yorkers have moved there. So there's like a whole community of like little Brooklyn over there.
Yeah. Silver Lake, Los Feliz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now the YouTube thing there, what's up with that studio there? Beth is like a really cool YouTube. You're a YouTube personality. You would classify it as that, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's so weird because it's like a new thing.
So small. Yeah.
And like people that, I think that people that are of,
it's like in the YouTube world, I'm nobody, but if you're just starting off in YouTube, I have been in there for a few years, so I know some things.
So tell me a little bit.
I have 25,000 subscribers on my channel.
Yeah.
But also,
Hold.
Sure. It's like give me a medium. It's not applause.
I can't find
it's
a plug for some reason.
I just get a puff of wind.
I have no applause, but I do have this.
A storm is coming. Got it. Thank you. Thank you for that.
You know what? I'm going to find some applause.
It's fierce. You're telling me it's fierce.
It's totally fierce. But also, you started a few years ago.
Yeah. Hosted this live daily show on Madame Channel. That really started everything.
You know what? I auditioned for that.
I know. You were very up there.
I was like, very up there in the audition for this. It was for Madame Channel, and they were doing a daily show live. And
internets.
It's interesting too, like looking back. I mean, like I treat every opportunity that I get really close to, like, you know, you treat it like,
of course.
You're like, oh, of course it's happening.
Yeah. I was auditioning for a theater role that went to, and it was between me and, I just forgot her name, Jillian Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the director I know she's listening, but just so she knows, the director was like on my side. Because I'd done readings of it beforehand. It was like a big thing. And they're like, well, we're going to whatever. For whatever reasons, they picked her. And ever since then, like, I'm basically like, she has my career. I would have totally gotten Community after
and everything else
in this new Netflix show. Like, she really, you know, you do hang on to those things.
Yeah, that's a tough. And I feel like I'm slowly coming right now. Slowly.
I'm watching it happen. It's really, like,
it's very silent.
It's really subtle, but also
you can tell. There's the applause. That's your applause happening right now. I'm starting to have like a more mature way of thinking about all of it now.
Good. It helps.
Yeah.
Because
I definitely, and even in the beginning of this podcast, the conversations that I had were really like, although I do think it's important to talk about it, because when we're on stage, mostly what we project is like this confident sort of, hold on one second. This is someone's calling from Canada and I just can't take it. I can't deal with two countries at once. But yeah, when I started, I always do like to touch on like what the other side of it is, like what the feeling is to like you know, push on an industry that is a, like, really fucking difficult. And in a world, like, you know, like in the comedy world, to like get up every, I'm always impressed in New York, like people's stamina to like get up every night and do the amount of shows that they do. But yeah, I guess what I was starting to say, what I'm saying is it's, slowly, like, I think, and that's come with doing, hold on one second.
There's massive amounts of cocaine and all that. Let's see here. Keep going.
She's, hello?
Hello, it's Johnny.
Hello?
Hey, it's Johnny.
Hey, what's up, Johnny?
What up? How you doing?
I'm just recording a podcast right now. You're on the podcast.
Am I?
Yeah.
Hi, Johnny.
Hello. Let's talk later.
Okay, we'll talk later. But do you want to give a plug for what you're working on?
Not really. I'm just, I guess I'm going to be seeing you in New York.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And yeah, it's exciting. How many questions? Hashtag what up?
That's what I'm talking about. Okay.
All right, wait, I'll talk to you later.
Bye. That's Johnny, who edits my web series, How Many Questions? YouTube.com/How Many Qs. So this is what I'm saying, is that like in doing things that I have power and control over, even if they're not, you know, like this podcast has like some thousands of people that listen. And the web series is like slowly starting to get some traction, but like it makes me feel empowered, and it started and it's shifted. Also, I can see it's shifted people's perception of me within the community.
You're creating something. Also, you have thousands of people listening. That's great. That's better than, like, you would just be not doing it, not have those otherwise.
Exactly.
I totally agree. That's what the YouTube thing has really brought me. Now I'm like really into it and enjoy it. I want it to grow. But for so long, it was just like this great thing for me as, you know, an actor and comedian or whatever. You're not having any control over the auditions and the things. You don't get a say in when you actually book something or what you do. And with this YouTube channel, who cares? I mean, sometimes I have a lot of people that watch videos and sometimes they're just regular, but it's so awesome to be like, I created this and I did this today. Also, the little type A side of my personality is really great. I love editing now and putting up. Since I've been like 17, I've never been finished with the project because it's all been artsy and creative. And so I was like, I'll still keep working on this. And editing is like, I finished it, I'm done,
once you put
I'm
it
uploading
out there, it's
it. It feels so good. So yeah, but just like knowing that I'm doing something, I put up two videos a week, that's like just really great for myself to be like, I did this, even if it's not, you know, doesn't matter. But
and can you at what point can you monetize on YouTube?
Well, right now, so I've been owned by My Damn Channel, so I've just been getting like a little salary from them.
Okay.
And now my contract is over and I start going on my own. So we're working out with them right now, hopefully keeping my channel. And then I'm going to do whatever.
It's a negotiation about whether they'll let you keep
They haven't let people before, but I think they're going to let me. It's just some terms we have to kind of agree on.
Maybe they get some points.
They get some stuff.
Yeah.
That's the whole world.
Do you need a lawyer
really
to
know.
Negotiate it?
Yeah.
And then you pay the lawyer a percentage.
5%.
5% of everything you make. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, so now I'm learning that all the YouTube stuff, and what I think is true. This isn't true for me anyway. I mean, when you have millions and millions of viewers, and you're these YouTube celebrities that are like have 3 million followers, and 500,000 people watch every video they put up.
Yeah,
those are also often the worst. I mean, there's no creative content.
So, yeah,
I just get so frustrated watching those. That's like my.
Well, what do you?
But so what I've learned is that they get money with views, because like there's so many views that every video makes money, because it's like per view and, you know, the ads watched beforehand, and often their fans are like so into them they watch the entire video. You get more money the longer they watch and stuff, because ad people can control see that, so they're like,
but there's no, it doesn't affect how many ads they can put on a video. No, or it's that little banner at the bottom.
It's that, but also the ad beforehand, like, you know, there's some, I think this is true, some of the more watched views of the videos that are bigger have that you have to watch 15 seconds of
it. Yes, gotcha.
And then some of them you can click after 5 seconds.
Yeah, so that all means different amounts of money.
So you make some money there if you have a lot of viewers, but the money comes in YouTube. But I want to make money off of through my channel is branding stuff, because now more and more advertisers are looking to use YouTubers and put it online, and that's, I think, really smart of them.
What are some brands that you would like to connect with?
Well, I really want to start being like 30 on my channel and getting like the women's brands, because I kind of, from my channel, I acted like I was a forever 25-year-old, you know, just like, I can compare with the teens, because the audience is a lot of teenagers.
And that's what they wanted.
Yeah. And it makes sense. That's who their demographic is.
Well, I think it's maybe not completely similar to, but Nikki Glaser and Sarah Schaefer, they got their show, what differed from the podcast to the TV show was like, okay, well, you're on MTV now, so these are the things that we talk about.
Totally. So now that I'm on my own, I'm just like, I really want to embrace, I'm not going to suddenly like talk about kids because I don't have kids or anything, but I want things that are
relevant to you.
Little things. Like instead of being like, you guys don't know this song, but when I was in high school, it'll be like, you guys know this song. You know, I just want to be myself.
That's interesting too. And how like you would think that YouTube would be the most like, you know, that is your place to like from the big start to finish, you're editing it, you're putting it together, but that there always are these pressures to.
Yeah. But that's the problem, is that that's like the most genuine platform. They can really tell when you're faking it, which is why I can't anymore. Like,
yeah,
the videos where I'm the most genuine and myself are the ones that do the best anyway, because people can tell when you're. Yeah.
So that's one tip. So we saw each other at an audition, and I was telling you that I'd met this dude, Matthew Santoro, who's like huge on YouTube and like makes a ton of money, and I've been sort of preoccupied or just focusing on how many questions on that web series, but I am interested in the idea of putting out a regular video. And I mean, I don't know if it's
just
too...
like your podcast, the way earlier we were talking about how Sabrina was not so confident in starting a podcast because everyone does a podcast.
Yeah.
But then it's like the same thing with
so
that.
We were,
like
when we're talking about how like the you're kind of trepidatious to start something that like seems trendy and like everybody's doing it. So like when Stand Up New York Labs offered me a podcast, at first I was sort of like, I don't know, like this seems kind of like the so-and-so does it and like I don't want to bite their style. But it's like, this is now a platform.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be a platform in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Until like 3D hugs become a thing. And then everyone's just going to be fucking their 3D hug people.
I'm sure they already exist somewhere on Reddit. You can find that. Yeah. But also, why not? There's unlimited space to take out. People want to listen to you.
Yeah.
Why not do one?
Yeah, and that's
how YouTube, when I first started my vlog, I was like, it was an obligation on my contract. They're like, they want to see like you should do like a real side of you thing. And I didn't get it because all the vlogs I watched were teenagers being like, I don't know anything to say, so, and it's like, well, then why did you turn your camera on today? But once you figure out what you want to, what your thing you're doing,
yeah,
then it's like you're taking up good space.
So taking up good space is.
So you should do that.
Figuring out what your voice is.
Yeah.
And what have you figured out in terms of your voice? I guess that's right now something that's also shifting that you want to maximize your genuinity.
Well, I do a lot. I mean, I do a lot of sketches and character impressions on my stuff, and
they're amazing.
Impressions.
They're amazing. Thank you guys.
Thanks
Check
so much.
Them out. Bethany Show.
Thanks so much. So I really like taking a break from myself and being those people. So it's not like I'm hardly ever being myself. But when I am, I don't know. It's just like a kind of like a mock YouTube thing. But in my, you know, like I'll do like fake makeup tutorials and stuff.
Gotcha.
But none of the.
Well, that's also a strategy too, though, right? Because when you put on a like the title,
yeah. But I'm still not even good at that. I don't do the popular things. I do things that actually interest me. Like I just did one I'm putting up tomorrow about ways to hide your bangs after after you regret cutting bangs.
Yeah,
I really am trying new ways to do this. So it's just like a big I just riff on that. As opposed to, I don't do like the cinnamon challenge type things. I can't.
I guess yeah. And then the more the like cinnamon clickbait. Challenge. What's that? It's it's like things that like the ice bucket challenge and the things that are like
you just do it to just
to get the click.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you keeping it real?
Yeah, trying.
Bye bye trans. Hello honesty.
Keep going.
I need more hugs from my mother.
Mm. The truth sets in.
That's my mom driving away. So then did we solved LA because we told everybody, don't worry, there's good people in LA.
Yeah.
We talked about YouTube, but I feel like I do actually
so
want
what are you,
some
what,
more information.
What are you going to do? What do you want to do for your channel? You want to do a thing of
I would
you,
just be like, hey, it's me. I'm talking to you this week.
Just
and then
start
I would,
it.
Actually, you know what? I think that I would want to do a list because it's easy. I like when I'm writing, I write in lists. And I also
That's
am
great.
More... prone to. I feel like I'm using words that I'm like not able to use, but I'm more prone to. No, what's the like more natural way of saying prone?
Inclined.
I'm more inclined to click on something when it's like 10 wit. Yeah. And I hate admitting that, but it's like, I just want to, if it's like, if someone was, something was like ways of being charming at a party, I'd be like, I can't have right, time exactly. for that. But if it was like five ways to impress
that's
people,
that's why I think this BuzzFeed's doing so well.
Yeah.
I want to hear 27, not 28 ways to put bacon in my breakfast or whatever.
Put bacon in my breakfast.
You should just do it. That's what my main advice.
That's
is just
the advice.
It.
And it's
because
so simple.
No one's going to watch your first one, so you're not going to figure out how to get people watching them. So who cares? Just start. And it'll be fun to go back and be like, look at what I did when I didn't know what I was doing.
And then the name of your channel, is that something?
Oh, yeah. When I bought, I had a bunch of names and looked on YouTube to see what was available.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I got Beth and Show, I realized it looks like the Be Thin Show.
It doesn't look like it is.
Well, it's one word. Yeah. They're really too bad. So,
it's an applause break.
It's applause for thin people.
For thin people.
Mm-hmm. But I had Adira Amram do a lovely theme song.
Yeah.
And she says, this is not the Be Thin Show. So that's good.
Let me look that up.
It's okay.
How long have you been with your man?
Like forever. Like 8 years.
Ooh.
You guys gonna do the thing that I think you're gonna shut it down that I do that most people do and the W Network has the show about it?
This is the puppet portion. Maybe. I would be into that. But also it's hard to determine when you're this long in a relationship if you actually want that or if it's just what everyone's asking you. And so you're like, it's time. Right?
Yeah, I get why people, like, if there wasn't one person that, like, Shauna is good at planning things. Or she's a wardrobe stylist, and she also does some art direction. So that was something that, like, she envisioned that she could do. So it was something, you know, within her Rolodex of thinking. For me, I would never have had the instincts to, like, I'd never be prone to plan a wedding.
Right, twice. That's what I think our problem is. We're both, like, really not active people about that, and we're both the youngest child,
so there's a whole thing of like through it
and also like aren't you like we have this I realized recently that we both have this like aren't you gonna do this for me kind of thing, like we don't take initiative very well, which is why this is happening.
Well, also it's expensive, it's archaic, and if you don't see yourself having kids.
I kind of do. I recently had a dream that I had a baby. I was pregnant, and then I don't remember the birth part, thank goodness, but then I had the child. And I was holding it, and I was, like, nuzzling its head. And for the first time, I mean, I've had a lot of pregnancy dreams that were nightmares. For the first time, I, like, that thing when you like the smell of a baby.
Yeah.
That happened to me in my dream. I woke up, and I, like, woke up my boyfriend. I was like, I have paternal instinct. It was, like, my first time really. So I think that's in there. I have nieces and nephews.
Did you really wake up your boyfriend?
I did.
Because is that something that he's wanted you to have?
I don't think, but I think he's kind of like, we both are kind of in that thing of like, oh, we're not realizing that we're getting older. And it's like, oh, then, yeah, we definitely want that in the future. Not realizing that that's like, probably should.
I mean, like this generation of people, we're going to have kids when we're 60.
That's what I want.
We're going to buy diapers in bulk.
I need like 15 more years. Yeah.
I can't find this theme song.
Don't
but
worry about
you know
it.
What you need to do? You need to go to youtube.com/BethandShow and go hunting for it yourself. Don't you want a little task in this world? Don't you want to go hunting on the world wide web? And while you're at it, go to youtube.com/how many kids?
Then this is how what the YouTubers do it. I'm really bad at it because I mean I am a small
myself. That's your voice.
Let me say a quick thing about the former. She should have chosen Gaston.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean Gaston.
Do you, when you hear your voice, feel like, oh,
yeah,
no,
and also I know that video, and I remember I made that in like an hour because I was late on something, so that's the worst one.
Yeah, fuck that one.
You should, this is what YouTubers do then, is you got to collab with people who have subscribers.
Yes.
I'm really bad at this, but you should
we
come
can
on
collab
my
it?
Channel.
Yeah!
And when you start yours and do a list on mine, and then.
Yeah, and girl.
That's how that works.
I'm into it. So, guys, look out for our collaborations online.
Yeah.
They can be seen in mere minutes, but first, before we try to conclude anything, do you have any questions like that you would ask a Magic 8-Ball right now? Because my mom is on coke.
Oh, yeah. I've heard it. I've heard that. Your mom's name is Ursula?
Her name's Ursula.
That's the best.
Yeah. She means business. I'm going to call her soon. Usually, she's got her own agenda, but I like to throw her a curveball.
I think, I want to see her.
And then this is the microphone that she... Oh, you'll see her be thrown. Just ask her anything that's not what she had planned to read.
Okay.
There we go.
Phone number 416-273.
Oh, well, it's not their number anymore. I think they I just realized they've been trying to run away from me, but I have the new number here. Y'all know when your parents change the locks on their phone and y'all gotta call them on their cell phone.
Oh.
And then they realize there's no point in
it. Every time Every time my mom answers the phone, she starts describing why she missed my call, because she always misses it, and then she calls me back and spends the first 5 minutes telling me about where the phone was.
I mean, that's a real thing about getting older, is that you're a little bit slower in the way that you describe the things, and then you describe them a little bit too many times. Right. You're like, I did get this memo.
Like, I get it. It was in your purse and you didn't hear it. Yeah, same thing as last time.
Unless it has to do with Ariana Grande, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
There we go. We got it now. Oh, we got it. We definitely. The hell?
Hello. This is
Mama Jalice, Mama Fry.
Hi, Bina.
How's it going?
Huh?
How's it going?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. I went to Good Neighbors today.
Oh yeah, Good Neighbors is my brother's store in Leslieville in Toronto. Lifestyle store, cool clothes, you got it. Good Neighbor.
Oh.
Yeah, I was being a good neighbor and I went down there and helped a little bit.
What did you do?
Oh, the basement was really a mess. Like, you know, the boxes, all the recycle had to be bundled up.
Oh, that's good.
So that's what I did. I bundled up all the boxes. For tonight.
That is a euphemism.
Yeah.
Mommy?
Huh?
Do you have a topic that you'd like to discuss? I think Beth might have a question for you.
Hi. Okay, Ursula, can I call you
Ursula?
Hello.
Well, I was just going to say how, you know, amazing this TED Talk conference, TEDx conference was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was quite amazing. You know, I mean, the whole thing, the way they put it together, and then, you know, all the volunteers and all that, it's quite a big thing. I was talking to someone who, you know, Rami, who, you know, ran a TEDx in Waterloo, and he said that this one's the best run one.
That's what I'm talking about.
Trying to get the stuff together.
I will say TED doesn't pay anybody, but they do run on the community's blood, sweat, and tears. So I guess it's a good thing about the community. And I guess also it means that they've got like a brand that people want to attach themselves to.
Yeah, that's what they've
got. Exactly. Plus, I think that also, you know, people are proud to be part of it, even as a volunteer. You know, like this, you know, the one, you know, the girl we were talking to. Her name is Izzy or something like that.
Iggy
Remember
Azalea.
Last year she just was there as a, you know, as a paid guest.
That's surprising.
And then she decided to volunteer. So I think a lot of people probably, you know, want to volunteer because first of all, it's a good experience. It's probably good for networking and it looks good on the resume, you know?
Yeah.
So
I guess maybe one takeaway from your lessons today, you're not coming with lessons. Today you're like casually talking about your experience, but volunteer,
right?
It's important to volunteer.
Yeah.
I think it is, you know, I mean, you know, I simply remember.
Yeah, I remember.
I was talking
to
Martin
everything.
From, what's his name?
Speakers.
Perlmutter or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Perlmutter.
You know, Speaker's Corner, and I asked him how he met you at an event where you were, you know, volunteering your time, and not getting paid for your time, and it paid off big time, you know, because he saw you there and he was impressed. So really, I think volunteering is a big aspect of life.
Wow.
And I think it probably pays off in many different ways. Ooh. You know, it probably gives you the satisfaction to think that you're doing something, you know, to help somebody.
Making an impact.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And usually, you know, something comes out of it. you know, without you looking for it or, you know, specifically doing it for that reason, I think it's self-worth.
I think that is a wonderful lesson.
Where do I sign up?
You signed up.
Oh, is that
how
you do
it? We spent the whole hour almost. Well, it's 44 minutes, but we'll call it an hour. We spent the hour talking about our careers and our life and how to make them better. That's not really what we talked about.
You know, yeah, I think what we learned is we've been focusing a lot on ourselves.
Yeah.
And we need to focus on...
Well, I will say, you know what, Mom, now you're retired, and I feel like this is basically you're figuring out different things that are, like, volunteer. Like, you were going into basements and bungling up boxes, and that is a euphemism.
Yeah.
You've been bungling a lot of boxes in different in different ways. And I think that's something that you find rewarding, and that just because you're done working doesn't mean you're done helping.
I like to help people. You know, it makes you feel good. You know, that's what I think. Even if you get nothing else in return, it just makes you feel good. And people appreciate. Usually people appreciate.
If you get nothing else in return, you got a good gossip story of, like, I helped that bitch so many times. Which is just...
Yeah. How do we translate this getting nothing in response to YouTube views, you know, and to, like, more Twitter followers is what we really...
Yeah, Mom, what do you think in terms of how can Beth and I get more YouTube views and Twitter followers? How can we apply what you have taught?
Do you think I should have babies and put them on my videos, you know, and just really put
them
in
the spotlight?
Yeah,
Beth is wondering whether she should have kids as well.
I think I'm going to have...
I mean, you know, sometimes whatever... seems to be the least effective thing might be the most effective,
you
just don't know.
You should
know.
Have a baby. Those things are not effective as fuck.
Shit. Wow.
You just have to try different things, you know, and something might just be a hit.
Okay, so that's right? Just purely talking about sex. So just try it.
Just keep doing.
Got it. Maybe you might get pregnant.
But I think you have to kind of do it in a loose way, not like, oh my God, I've got to do 100 times because one of them will be a big hit.
Right. That would be a lot of sex.
Because you like to do it and then something will just happen, just like that.
Wow. I hope not.
Baby, you're going
to
have a baby.
Yeah.
Mommy, I love you.
Love you too, Bina.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah. Okay, Bina.
Bye.
Bye, Ursula.
Later. Have a good evening, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, the truth is I never talked to her outside of this podcast. So did we not learn something today? Did we not learn?
We did.
Did we not learn that if Beth fucks her man...
Right.
100 times a day is not necessary, but if you do it with love
and relaxed
and relaxed really loose,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. You'll have that baby.
Yeah.
And that baby will get you those hits.
So if I follow the opposite of that advice, then I'm good. I'm good to go for another like 10,
perfect.
12 years.
Okay. Yes. This has been Sabrina Jalise and Beth Hoyt telling you to hit us up on the internet.
Yeah, basically.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Thanks, Sabrina.
That's good.
You know, sometimes whatever seems to be the least effective thing might be the most effective, you just don't know.
You should
know.
Have a baby. Those
things
are not effective as fuck. Go, fooling around and chasing old mistakes.